Well, God bless you this evening. Welcome to all the beautiful saints out there in the comm line, I call it. We're blessed to have you. And you saints here in person. Going to be fun, I think.
Yes.
Well, I picked a record out of the Old Testament. Now, I know we haven't done a lot of Old Testament reading, but I thought it would be good. And I want to show you why. Those of you who have a Bible that's in print, notice that it's split between New Testament and Old Testament. And I know that we spend a lot of time in the New Testament, but have you ever noticed, if you have a real print Bible, that the Old Testament is a lot thicker than the New Testament? And it does say somewhere in Romans that the Old Testament was written for our learning. So there, you know, God must have a learning purpose for putting that much in the Old Testament. Otherwise, he would have changed it, right? So anyway, I picked a record in the Old Testament, and but before I start reading that record, I just wanted to remind you of a couple of things. The difference, if you, maybe you guys have thought about this when you read Old Testament and New Testament records, I do, but what's the difference? What's the big difference between, I'm going to ask you guys here, what's the difference, one of the big differences between the Old Testament and the New Testament? Claudia?
People where the relationship was different, that of servants.
Yeah.
And so God always called the people basically, as opposed to Jesus Christ coming and making the idea now, and it means earth available, so that we are no more people, but we are his children.
Mm-hmm.
So different relationships.
Correct. Anybody else? Mm-hmm. Wow.
We're living right now in the administration of grace.
Yeah.
And back there, they can only have the Holy Spirit upon them. We have it in us. And but thank God for the Old Testament, because there's a lot of road that we're paying for us today for what they did.
Mm-hmm.
It was the same God.
Yeah.
And so, hallelujah.
Anybody else?
It's like a mirror image.
Mirror image?
If I can describe exactly, but like the first Adam, the second Adam,
mm-hmm.
and as it kind of developed, all the prophecies are going to become reality. So.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
kind of
how I see it.
Good. Yeah, I thought about some of those points. And one other thought, another point that I thought about was worship. When they went to worship, they went to the temple, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't go to a temple. But their worship was limited. They couldn't go like we worship. We can talk to God anytime we want, 24/7. They couldn't do that 24/7 because, like as Claudia mentioned, they didn't. First of all, they don't have spirit. They didn't have spirit, the new birth spirit. But when they went to worship in the temple, there were separations. Remember separations?
Yes.
Jews and Gentiles mm-hmm. are separated.
Mm-hmm.
I can't sit next to you because you're. You're not a Jew. I'm a Jew, so I can't sit with you. So that was a big thing. And the other thing was only the high priest. Remember the high priest could, or the only one that were allowed into the Holy of Holies, and that was the big place where God was resting, you know, in the Holy of Holies between the two cherubim. Yeah. So there. Their worship was really limited, and they had to go, you know, they had to, we don't have to go through anybody, but they had to go through the high priests and the Levites, you know, to do worship. So I thought about those when I was reading these records. But thank God we're in the New Testament. Anyway, chapter 34 of 2 Chronicles. Let's look at this record. Real interesting. Let's talk about, and it's during the Kings period. If you're familiar with the Old Testament at all, you know that they had the king. Different administrations. Well, the kings are part of the law. Some kings were good. Some kings weren't so good, were they? God had to put up with that, and he did. I don't know, ask me how he did, but he did. But in chapter 34, we're going to read about Josiah, King Josiah. And I didn't know we were going to have two young kids here today, so I think it's kind of started out at age appropriate, don't you think? Because when you start reading about Josiah, well, first verse, it says Josiah, 34 verse 1, was 8 years old when he began to reign. And how would you like that? And he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, so if he started out as an 8-year-old child, and now he's in the 8th year of his reign, how old is he now? 16. Only 16. How many of us? I could say we 16 years old and you're a king. Good. So in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. Prior to him coming on the scene, the kings before him had been idolaters. But he came in, and when he got old enough, and when he learned enough, he started doing some major reforms. And in verse 4, and they broke down the altars of Balaam in his presence, and the images that were on high above them he cut down, and the groves and the carved images and the molten images he broke in pieces and made dust of them, and strewed it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars, and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali, with their mattocks round about. And that's just a tool that helps you dig up dirt for mattocks. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves, and had beaten the graven images into powder, and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. Now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Mahas, boy, if you know that one, good, God bless you, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. And when they came to Hilkiah, the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites that kept the doors had gathered of the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim, of all the remnant of Israel, and of all Judah and Benjamin. And they returned to Jerusalem. And they put it in the hand of the workmen that had the oversight of the house of the Lord. And they gave it to the workmen that wrought in the house of the Lord to repair and amend the house. The major building and reforming going on here. I wonder what God thought about this guy. I must have been pretty blessed with this king, right, so far? Even to the art of, what's an art of, I have none. Even to the art of,
the hired carpenters.
Oh, carpenters, okay. And builders gave they it to buy hewn stone and timber for couplings, and to floor the houses which the kings of Judah had destroyed. And the men did the work faithfully, and the overseers of them were Jahath and Obadiah the Levites of the sons of Merari, and Zechariah and Meshullam of the sons of the Kohathites to set it forward, and other of the Levites, all that could skill of instruments of music. And they were over the bearers of burdens and were overseers of all that wrought the work in any manner of service. And of the Levites, there were scribes and officers and porters. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book. And here's where it gets kind of interesting to me. Found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do it. And they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers and to the hand of the workmen. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. Now obviously, the law hadn't been talked about for years and years and years because of the idolatrous regime that had gone before Josiah. So he heard the words of the law and he rent his clothes. It means he was really agitated. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Hakam the son of Shaphan and Abdon the son of Micah and Shaphan the scribe and Azaliah a servant of the king, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah, concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. And Hilkiah and they that the king had appointed went to Hulda the prophetess. You know, a lot of times you see prophet, but here's a prophetess. Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
The wife of Shallum, the son of Tikvah, the son of Hezra, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they spake to her to that effect. And she answered them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell ye the man that sent you to me. Thus saith the Lord. Oh, well, let's see whether she's got good news or bad news, right? Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book, which they have read before the king of Judah, because they've forsaken me and have burned incense under other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be poured out upon this place and shall not be quenched. Ooh. God is not happy. And as for the king of Judah, but look at this. And as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall you say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which thou hast heard. Because thine heart was tender, isn't that wonderful? And thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humbled thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, I have heard thee also, saith the Lord. Behold, and this was a big deal, behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to the grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes be all the evil that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the king word again. Then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests, and the Levites, and all the people, great and small, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. Now, could he prevent what was going to happen? The king, no. God said it's going to happen, but I will not let it happen during your lifetime. You're going to go to your grave in peace. Wow, that must have been something. Because he couldn't stop it. He couldn't stop what was going to come in the future. But in his lifetime, because of his attitude of heart, because he was tender and he humbled himself, God responded in a positive manner. Wow. Well, the attitude towards the word brings great benefit. Oh, let's see, verse 30 again. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests, and the Levites, and all the people, great and small. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. Whoops, the king's going to expect you to stand to it, you better, right? And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. And I'm going to end it right here in this verse. Wow, what do you think about that guy? What do you think God thought when this guy came on the scene and did all those reforms? And wow, when he heard the book of when he heard the law being shared by the, you know, it was uncovered in the ruins, I guess. Wow, what do you think that did for our father? Our father, not his father. Wow, and you know what? You're going to see that guy, I believe, some point way down in the future, but you're going to have to wait a few generations. Wow, it's going to be quite a conversation that I'm going to have with him when I see him. Be cool. So anyway, that's a little bit of the Old Testament that I wanted to share with you. I hope you enjoyed it.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We should love you. We thank you for even the Old Testament. Because of all that learning, of all those wonderful believers that we can learn about, we can learn more about your heart, God, and how you just opened up your heart to people who live in the Old Testament, and how you love them, and how you continue to love us, even to a greater degree in some respects through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we love you, God, and we thank you for all that you've done for us. And they all said,
Amen. Amen.